Hello, and welcome to today's episode of the ABCs, Authors Between the Covers. What makes successful authors tick? What does it take to sell that manuscript? Is self-publishing a good option? Or is selling your book to a big publishing house still the only way to fly? What about keeping up with your first big success? We'll talk about all this and more on today's show, hosted by journalist and publisher Hope Katz Gibbs, author of Truly Amazing Women Who Are Changing the World, and PR Rules, The Playbook. Hello, and welcome to the Incandescent Radio Show, Authors Between the Covers. I'm your host, Hope Katz Gibbs. And I'm thrilled to be here today with Christine Mangan, author of Tangerine, the Hitchcockian tale of Lucy and Alice, two college roommates who reconnect in the Moroccan city of Tangier, 1956. Drama and intrigue ensue, and indeed this page-turner is incredibly hard to put down. In the last 6 months, Tangerine has gotten tremendous attention, having been featured in The New Yorker and reviewed in The New York Times. Also incredibly exciting is that it has been optioned for a film by George Clooney's Smokehouse Pictures, and Scarlett Johansson is set to star. This is the first novel for the woman who has a PhD in English from the University College of Dublin, where her thesis focused on 18th century Gothic literature. She also has an MFA in fiction writing from the University of Southern Maine, and has spent much of her career traveling the world. Welcome to Authors Between the Covers, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is very cool. So you're talking to us from your place in New York City?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn actually now.
Oh, fun. So you'll tell us all about that. But before we get into our interview, I want to tell our listeners a little bit about this engrossing novel. So sure. The last person Alice Shipley expected to see since arriving in Tangier with her new husband was Lucy Mason. After the accident at Bennington, the two friends, once inseparable roommates, haven't spoken in over a year. But there Lucy was, trying to make things right and return to their old rhythms. Perhaps Alice should be happy. She is not adjusted to life in Morocco, too afraid to venture out into the bustling medinas and oppressive heat. Lucy, always fearless and independent, helps Alice emerge from her flat and explore the country. But soon, a familiar feeling starts to overtake Alice. She feels controlled and stifled by Lucy at every turn. Then Alice's husband, John, goes missing, and Alice starts to question everything around her, her relationship with her enigmatic friend, her decision to ever come to Tangier, and her very own state of mind. So this book is just fantastic. Tell us about the story, your inspiration for it, and the journey you embarked on to take it from an idea to this 388-page hardback.
Sure. The whole novel itself was really inspired by a trip that I took to the city of Tangier back in the spring of 2015, I think it was. I had just finished my PhD at the University College Dublin, and I had a little bit of time left in my visa, so I just wanted to travel and see as much as possible before I returned to the States. One of the places that I always really wanted to go was Tangier. And I had been there once before, but only for just probably 10 minutes or so because I passed through the city. I got off a overnight train from Marrakesh and then kind of hopped on the ferry and back up to Spain. So it was one of those things I always regretted not being able to spend time there. And so when I went, I found right away that Tangier was and is really, because I think it still continues to be for me, so unlike any place that I had ever been to. Part of that is right away there are these certain associations that people have with Tangier. It's a place that, you know, it's inherently a little bit mysterious. It's a place where artists and in particular writers have traveled to and have made their home there. And so I think, you know, there's a certain amount of romance to it. And I think that for a lot of people, that's what they're initially drawn to. They want to discover what it is about this place that appealed to so many people before them. And they want to discover, you know, why these artists chose to write about it, why they decided to make their home there. And for me, that was certainly part of the appeal to walk in the footsteps of these writers and to try to see what they saw and, you know, what they were so inspired by. And, you know, on the other hand, Tangier is a place that can be entirely overwhelming. It's, you know, depending on when you go, it's hot and it's chaotic and the streets can be a nightmare if you have an actual destination in mind and you're actually trying to find a physical place in the Medina. and you have people calling out to you, following you, and it can be so frustrating and even kind of terrifying in moments when, you know, you're lost and there's really no place to kind of stop and take a breath. And I think, you know, there is this expression that you cry when you arrive and you cry when you leave. And I think it's really quite true of that city, because it does require you to, to engage and to kind of, you have to kind of engage with these obstacles. And it's quite easy, I think, when you get into the rhythm of the place to become enamored with it and to be quite sad when your time comes to leave. And for me, I found myself still thinking about it, you know, months after leaving, thinking about the people that I met there, the stories that they told me, and in particular, the very different ways that people react to the city, you know, whether they absolutely love it or they absolutely hate it. And that kind of idea, that actually was the very start of my main characters, Lucy and Alice. And so when I returned to the state for the first time in quite a while, I was not studying, I was not in school, I was not working, I was just applying for jobs. And so I kind of took that moment to finally sit down and write this thing, because I had the time and the space to actually do it, which I really never had had before. And that's kind of where Tangerine started.
That's fascinating. So tell us just a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? How old are you now? And then we'll talk more. And did you always want to be a novelist? And then we'll talk a little bit more about the book and the development of it.
Sure. I grew up in Metro Detroit for most of my life. We moved when I was very, very young, lived on Long Island in North Carolina for a while. But I lived in Metro Detroit growing up. And after that, I went up to school to Bennington College, actually, for a year. And then I left and went to Chicago, where I was for quite some time, before then going on to Dublin for 4 years while I worked my PhD, and then traveled a bit after that, and then went to Dubai to teach for a year. Writing has always been really important in my life, and I've always wanted to be a writer, but it was just something that I never really thought could happen. And so even though I went to school for creative writing, you know, even after graduating with an MFA in fiction writing, it was just still something that I never really entertained as a possibility. So I fell into doing a bit of freelance work when I was in Chicago. I didn't really love that until I started teaching, actually. And I taught at a college downtown, and it was something that I enjoyed, and I figured that I would get a PhD so that I could do it full time. Just because, again, the idea of writing a novel, of actually having someone like it enough to want to publish it, it just really did not seem like a possibility. So I kind of put all of my kind of focus into academia.
Back up a little bit. This is so fascinating.
Sure.
Okay, so how old are you now?
Oh, sorry. So I am 36 now.
You've accomplished so very much. So it sounds like your guts, your career, your wanderlust, and just your curiosity took you from place to place to place, and then you decided you maybe would be grounded if you got that PhD, and you did in Dublin,
mm-hmm.
which was another adventure, it sounds like. So get into some of the nitty-gritty behind that. What were you feeling and thinking as you were going through this period?
I loved working on the PhD. I really, you spend your time with books, and that's, you know, my favorite thing, essentially. I got to spend my time researching these 18th century Gothic novels, which I absolutely loved, and had hopes kind of following my graduation, that I would be able to teach, about these things that I had been studying. But the reality is that academia is really hard to find full-time positions, and especially full-time positions where you are kind of teaching what your specialty was. So once I graduated from Dublin, what I was looking at were jobs that would mainly have me teaching composition. And so I wasn't as excited about those potential jobs. But I knew that I was going to have to kind of start off in that, and kind of hopefully be able to get to that point one day where I was teaching more of what I was interested in. And so I had actually accepted a job in Dubai And all of this kind of happened at the same time. So I really was, I kind of had essentially found an agent, and at the time I was preparing to leave to the United Arab Emirates. So everything with the sale of the book happened while I was there and teaching.
That must have been fascinating. Just, you know, you kind of go from 0 to 1,000.
Yeah, it was. It was a very chaotic time, and I was teaching four classes, and so I was really busy with that side of it. And then when the book was sent out, I was having to kind of work all day, and then I would stay up at night so I could talk to everybody back in the East Coast then when the actual auction was taking place. And I remember at the time as well, I had got the most horrendous cold because I was still kind of adapting to being in air conditioning 24/7. And so I was really sick, and I was just, it was a very overwhelming time. It was great, but it was just very overwhelming.
So what was the feeling you had when they said, yes, we are going to publish this book? And it's Echo is the publisher, correct?
Yes.
So what did that feel like?
It was very surreal. It continues to be very surreal. I think the fact that I was so far away as well, distance-wise, just kind of added to that. And so it didn't really seem like something that was actually happening. I don't think it really kind of, I think in a way I'm still processing it, but it didn't really become real until I came back to the States, which was almost a year later. So it was very surreal.
And then George Clooney optioned it with Scarlett Johansson starring. I mean, that is so cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it just kind of added to everything. It seemed like it was happening to somebody else.
Which is awesome, but it's happening to you. Yeah, you.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's every writer's dream, right, to have this kind of success. And then when I was reading through some of the reviews, you got a couple of knocks. How do you handle that up and down, that roller coaster?
For me, it's really difficult. I handle it by, first of all, trying not to read anything. my editor kind of knows not to send me anything, good or bad. It makes me incredibly anxious. I was aware of the bad ones when they came out. It's really difficult. I think in the moment, I really didn't want to do this again. I didn't want to write a second novel. I didn't want to kind of open myself up to that, because it is just, it's very strange. I'm a very private person generally, and to kind of have your work out there and to have people reading it, that alone makes me kind of anxious. But then to have people writing about it, that kind of is on a whole nother level. And so I'm still kind of trying to figure out how to process that and to kind of take it in and not be too affected by it.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing you can do. And I remember from one of my favorite movies, Sweet Home Alabama, one of the characters was a fashion designer, and her boyfriend said to her, they're critics, they hate themselves. So there you have it. You know, I mean, I think I'm also a yoga teacher, and the theory is that with every high, there's a low. So I think managing life and expectations, and it's going to be a movie. So tell us more about, like, your journey. How have all those amazing experiences influenced your work and the way that you see the world?
I think that it is a huge presence, especially in this book. I mean, I'm kind of drawn to these different places and trying to represent them on the page, and also kind of writing about this experience. And I think this relates to both Lucy and Alice of being an outsider, you know, whatever that might mean. But just having lived in these different places, having gone to these different places, and always kind of being in the position where you are, you know, either a tourist or a visitor or a traveler or an expat for the places that I lived in. It can be something that's really exciting, but it can also be something that's really unnerving and terrifying as well. And it can be quite lonely because you are, you know, in this new country and you are isolated, whether it's, you know, by language or otherwise. And so I think that's something that continues to appeal to me, you know, not just in what I'm writing, but I think also in what I'm reading as well. And so kind of the story and the journey of of the outsider. So I think that that really has kind of influenced just experiencing in real life what I'm interested in putting onto the page.
Now, let's dive into this story. So these two characters, and, you know, these critics, for better or for worse, you know, they compare it to Girl on a Train and all this other stuff, and Hitchcock, and the cover, the beautiful cover actually looks very Hitchcock.
Yes, yeah.
Magnificent on the cover. So tell us about these characters, how you got this sort of twisted story and the men in it, and just, it's fascinating.
Thank you. Well, I think I've always been drawn to stories about female friendship, and particularly those that we make in our formative years. I think that there's something just so unique about them and about that time where everything just feels, you know, so heightened and so intense, and which I think in that moment, you know, because of age, because of circumstance, you know, it feels like the most important thing in the world, and one that you can't really ever imagine altering in any way. And in those relationships, you know, boundaries are crossed. I think identities are blurred. And I really was interested in looking at, in particular, that moment when the friendship begins to shift, you know, when it begins to crumble, and how that can, to the people involved, you know, really quite literally feel like the end of the world. And then I think, too, I just submitted my my PhD thesis. And so I very much kind of had, you know, the Bronte sisters and James Hogg and Anne Radcliffe and all Liza Parsons kind of, you know, circling in my brain. And I love kind of those novels and contemporary novels that deal with psychological suspense and that are gothic in some aspect, and, you know, in particular ones that focus on female characters, on doubling, on madness. And so one of the things I was thinking about when I wrote it, and I think it's probably the part that's most influenced, you know, by my studies in the gothic, is I was thinking about Jane Eyre, and I was thinking about the relationship that critics have written about Jane Eyre and Bertha Mason having, and this idea of Bertha, of course, is that mad woman in the attic, and the idea of Bertha kind of essentially being Jane's dark double, that, you know, that side of Jane that is unrepressed, unfettered by contemporary ideology. And so I kind of wanted to write that relationship between Alice and Lucy in a similar vein. So where we see, you know, Alice kind of unable to voice concerns, to voice fears that she has, it's really kind of Lucy who picks that up and who is able to kind of put that out there in a way that Alice feels that she can't. So that was one of the things I think that you can see the influence of the Gothic coming through. And also, of course, you know, Gothic tales have such a strong sense of place, you know, whether it's Manderley and Rebecca or Thornfield and Jane Eyre. And I think that was on my mind as well. And I wanted to kind of play around with the depiction of Tangier as kind of a stand-in for that haunted castle motif, just because I think that, you know, in a way, the streets of the city can be, you know, just as frightening, just as threatening and confining and overwhelming as any structure with walls that we have in these novels. So I think all of that kind of came into play as I was writing and creating the novel.
And the relationships are so intertwined and twisted,
yes.
And you don't know, like, who's sane and who's not. It's fascinating. So what was it like to write a story like that? Did you feel the characters? Did you become them? Or were you stepping aside? Like, how does it work for you?
Personally, I find Lucy the more interesting character, and I think that's the one that I had the most fun writing, just because she is kind of the one who gets things going. You know, she is the one who pushes. She's the doer. And Alice just, in many ways, kind of functions as a response to all of that. It was a lot of fun kind of plotting out what would happen. I mean, it required quite a bit of tracking just to make sure that everything made sense and everything kind of added up to what it was supposed to. So it was really interesting to kind of jump into their world and just kind of try and fully flesh out these characters and make them as believable as possible, as realistic as possible, but also kind of leave that air of mystery. So you don't really know who to fully trust and who to fully believe. And that was one of the things that I really wanted to make sure that as I fleshed out these two women, that no one was necessarily good or bad, but that they kind of lingered, both of them, I think, in that kind of in-between. There are things that they could both be, you know, potentially blamed for, but I wanted to make sure that there was something about each of them that was kind of relatable or likable.
And I love that concept of your dark double, right? So I know how layered that is, right? Because it goes back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's the difference between light and dark. Yeah. Oh, it's fascinating. I love fiction. It takes you all kinds of places. So tell us, what are you working on now?
I've gone back and forth between two different things. I was working on something, and then I kind of set it aside, and now I'm kind of focused my attention on something else, and I'm a good ways into it. I'm not too sure. I have a habit of writing things and getting near the end or even to the end and then deciding that it's kind of not what I want to be working on and putting it aside. I'm hopeful that that's not going to happen with this one. I think I'm still excited about what I'm writing, so I'm hoping that by the end of it I'll still feel that way.
Along those lines where you're kind of going back and forth with a title, is that your pattern? Is that how you work your way through this? Things like these stories form and then you step back and then you go back into them.
Yeah, well, I tend to, when I'm first kind of putting together something, I tend to handwrite everything and have kind of a whole stack of journals I'll go through and just kind of write little pieces or small scenes. And I do my best to kind of get as much written that way as possible before I turn to the computer then. And so when I kind of have enough and I feel like there is a story there, that's when I take all the journals and type it up and start to put it into a document and look at what I've got and go from there in terms of just kind of fleshing everything out and making it a fully formed, finished story.
Yeah, I had an editor once. I'm a journalist as well, and he said, writing is not typing.
You know, yes, I agree.
Exactly. So this is amazing. Tangerine by Christine Magan. This is your first novel, and we are certain that there will be many, many more. This book is fantastic. And I'm actually writing this piece that we're doing, that I had the opportunity to meet you for Costco's magazine. So you can read all about this in the Costco Connection in January 2019. And be sure to pick up Tangerine. This is just great. Thank you, Christine. We really appreciate you being on Authors Between the Covers on the Incandescent Radio Network. Thanks to all of our listeners for listening to us. And tune back in to the Incandescent Radio Networks for some more fascinating and fun interviews.
That's it for today's episode of the ABCs, Authors Between the Covers, hosted by journalist and publisher Hope Katz Gibbs, author of Truly Amazing Women Who Are Changing the World, and PR Rules, The Playbook. Be sure to check back next week on the Incandescent Radio Network for another interview with a successful author who is happy to share their story. Here's to writing your heart out and keeping your dreams alive. Thanks so much for listening.